श्री गणेशाय नमः। ॐ श्री सरस्वत्यै नमः। ॐ श्री गुरुदेवाय नमः। ॐ श्री रमणाय नमः। So we finished up till 9, huh? Chant number 9 after me. Dhiya sahodeti dhiyas tameti. Lokastato dhi pravibhasya eshah. Dhi loka janma kshaya dham purnam. Sadvastu janma kshaya shunyamekam. Am dhiya saha eshah lokah udeti. Because of the I thought, the feeling of I. Oh, you finished 10? Okay, we'll see just now. Because of the I thought, aham dhi, I have the feeling of my existence first, then the whole world rises. And when the feeling of I goes away, the whole world descends. Meaning to say, the whole world dissolves as though. The whole world goes away. So only when I am there, the world is there. When I am not there, the world is not there. As proven by sleeping. The praman is sleep. For the person who is sleeping, is there any world? For the one who is waking, there is world, but for the one who is sleeping, there is no world for that person. Of course, a big question arises as to whether when I sleep, whether the whole world is still there or it goes away. I suppose you will never know, isn't it? How you will know? You can't know. It is not possible to know. So on those occasions when we cannot know something, we take only what is called a Shruti Praman. Shruti Praman is Shabda Praman. The Shastra say that it is there, so we say that it is there. But how you will know? You can't know. Like for example, after death, you go here and you go there and you go some other place. How do you know? We only have one Praman to go back on. That is called a Shastra Praman or Shruti Praman, Shabda Praman. Those all things mean the same thing. That is the authority which tells. There are so many things in the world which we cannot know. It's very difficult to know. Like, for example, you don't know your great-grandfather or great-great-grandfather, right? Well, I don't know. But look here. Even though I don't know him, I know that he is. He's there. Because I am here, he had to be there. So that is one type of praman. Other type of praman is what you call a shastra praman, shruti praman, shabda praman. These all three things mean the same. That the Shastras say like that. Because there is somebody who is able to transcend all that we see, and he documented this. So we say, yeah. So in Vedanta we say, even though I am asleep, the whole world is still there, but it is there in the mind of Ishvara. But for me, it is not there for the one who is sleeping. So when I rise, my world arises. When I sleep, my world sleeps. Then, because my world is contingent on my existence, I have to ask one more question. Who is this me who is being spoken about? That is the individual I. So based on an individual I, my individual world exists. And when I look now as to the origin, Dhamma, Dhamma means origin, the abode, origin of this individual I, from where is it rising? It has a peculiar trait. This I is very shy. I is shy. You know, when you look at some shy person, they hide. They hide. So this I is shy. When you look at this I, you look for its origin, the I disappears. Like the person who comes in between the two wedding parties. Have you heard of that example? Some wedding is going on. Bride's side and groom's side. And this man appears there. And this party thinks he has come with the other party. And this party thinks he has come with that party. So when the two fathers of the two sides, when they got together and started asking, who is this man? And he saw them pointing at him also. Better we go ask him who he is, you know, where he has come from. By the time they could go to ask, he has run away. So this I is like that. When you start seeking out the origin of this I, individual I, upon which my world is based. When you start seeking out the origin of this individual I, it scampers away like that. Runs away. Disappears. And then we saw in number 10 now, all these different types of worship, because that question comes. Now we see Gyanmarg, we are talking about all of this inquiry, from where does this I arise? So some person has that question. What is the place, or which place is given to all of these different types of worship? He says all of these different types of worship, they help in this inquiry. They are sadhanas that we do on this path of inquiry, so it will be helpful in the path of, and see, like for example, now see. Suppose I'm going to inquire where this I comes from. My mind has to be, first of all, very quiet, very subtle, shuddha. See, these qualities means the inner equipment has to have these qualities. It should be shuddha, pure. It should be tikshna, sharp. It should be sukshma, subtle. And it should be shanta, quiet. Then only I can look for this very subtle individual I. Now, if the mind doesn't have these qualities, how it will look? But you cannot shave. You cannot shave with an axe. How you'll shave with an axe? Or machete or something. You need a very fine blade, isn't it? Such a fine blade to shave. In the very same way, I need a very refined intellect to look for this very subtle and insidious thing called as I. It is so subtle, so insidious, it's there, but I cannot see it. So I need a very subtle intellect to search for that. So these sadhanas, like puja and all the different types of worship and japa and all the different things that we do, they make this intellect very subtle. So it will be able to discern this I. When it is able to do that, the I will vanish. Otherwise, I'm there and I'm functioning and I'm running after things in the world, running after all material things, and I don't know that there's an individual I who's feeling some deficiency. He feels some deficiency and therefore he is running. And what is his nature and all that? So that is there about all of these sadhanas in number 10. See, bhavantu saddarshana sadhanani parasya nama kritivi sapariyaha. sadvastuni prapta tadatma bhava. Nishtheva sadarshana mityavehi. Sadvastuni prapta tadatma bhava. The abidance, nishtha eva, the abidance in that state that I am the reality. That can only happen after I have gone through all of these sadhanas and I've made my intellect so pure and so subtle that I'm able to seek out this I thought. From where is it arising? And when I'm able to seek it out and look at it well, it will drop away and I will gain a nishtha in my own nitya. I will come to identify not with this individual I, like the individual I and all its appendages, you know, individual I am bright, I am good, I am this, I am that, you know? Oh, I am poor, I am rich, I am educated, I am Indian, I am American, I am, how many things he has. And he likes to add every day also new ones, new accomplishments. So when I'm able to seek him out and disidentify with him, no, I am not this I. Or even if I'm able to watch him well, all of these things will drop away. Then tadatma bhava means I identify with the pure self which is behind the I, pure silence which is behind the I, pure stillness which is behind the I, from where that I is arising and descending, arising and descending. So it's a shift in identification. Right now I am identified with a little I which buttresses itself with so many little things that it picks up. So to disidentify with that. In fact, do you know? Look here. Many times we say that two actions are required. What? Disidentifying from this one and identifying with this one. Really speaking, it is one action that is required. If we disidentify with this one, what else will happen? One action actually is required. But people like a two-prong approach, you know. Disidentify, identify. Disidentify, identify. So we disidentify with little I and identify with that reality. But I tell, if you just do one, the other one will take care of itself. See, when you're in one rung of the ladder, you're on this rung of the ladder, standing. So you take one foot out from this rung of the ladder and you plant it on the other rung. Really, you don't have to make any effort to lift the second foot. Once this one is planted, the second action just happens. If you don't plant this one, then one fellow had a parrot, you know. So he showed his friend, see this parrot? Very wonderful parrot. If you pull the right leg, this parrot will chant Gita. If you pull his right leg. If you pull the left leg, this parrot will chant Ramayana. Really? What if you pull both legs? That parrot goes, hey, stop it. I will fall over. What is the matter with you? If you pull both legs, he'll fall. But this this two-prong approach is not required. Just we pull one. Pull identification from I. I am not this. I am not this. I am not this. I identify with all of these things. If we can do that only, then I'll be left in what I am. There's no other place to go. Just, you know, negate what I am not, then what I am will be left only. That is all. So, with the purification of the mind through worship and through all of the different types of sadhana, I make a very subtle intellect, which now affords me the opportunity to seek out this I, and to, in other words, you know what? Our Gurudev used to say sometime, to bring the death knell to this individual I. When that happens, only pure self is left. Tad bhava, tad atma bhava, identification with the reality will result. Now, very wonderful inquiry. The next two verses we'll chant together. What is this inquiry now? It is looking for the support of all the duality and triputi, which we know. What is duality and triputi? We'll see just now. We'll chant two verses. One lays down the principle and the other one gives an example. Or gives examples. Dvandvani sarvan yakhilash yak, dvandvani sarvan yakhilas triputyaha. Kinchit samashritya vibhanti vastu. Tanmargane syat galitam samastam. Napashyatam satchalanam kadapi. Next one also. Vidya katam bhati na cheda vidya. Vidyam vina kim pravibhatya vidya. Dvayam chakasyeti vicharya mula. Swarupanishtha paramartha vidya. Sarvani dvandvani. Sarvani dvandvani means all the pairs of opposites which we know. Which pairs of opposites? Hot, cold, rich, poor, good, bad, right, wrong. All such pairs of opposites we know. How many pairs of opposites? You and I. High, low. Oh. Sarvani dvandvani. And akhilaha triputyaha. Triputi means all the triputis. What? Knower, knowing, and known. So many triputis are there like that. Everything also, where there's a dvandva, there's a triputi also. Like seller, sold, and selling. There's some selling is going on there. So the world really is just filled with all of these dvandva, dualities or triputis, whatever you want to call them. Kinchit samashritya, kinchit vastu samashritya vibhanti. They have to exist only with some substratum. They have to exist only on some substratum. If there is the, let's say, you and I. If you and I are there, some substratum have to be there supporting this you and I. That is the meaning of second line. Tanmargane syat galitam samastam. If I look for the substratum of you and I, then sapashyata, I come to see that reality. If I look for the support of you and I come to see the reality, which is sat. And then nachalatnam kadapi. I come to gain a state of no movement. Nachalanam. Nachalanam means that state which is a state of stillness. So the you and I are actually states of coming and going. Sometimes you are there, sometimes I am there. Sometimes I am not there, sometimes you are not there. See, like just now we were talking about when I am sleeping. I don't know anything. My individuality disappears in sleep. That time you also disappear. So this whole drama, in other words, like the movie on the screen. The movie is, the slides are coming and going. But that screen has to be there. If there is no screen, then what will come and go? You'll have this beam of light going out infinitely there and nothing. Some immovable screen has to be there upon which this thing is playing. So the whole dvandva or triputi is playing itself out on an immovable screen. It's called Nachalanam. It doesn't move. See, one more way you can look at this. Look here. If there is movement, then there has to be stillness. Otherwise, how do you know movement? That's a logical thing only. If there is some movement, there is something which has to be still against the background of which you know movement. So you and I coming and going, sometimes I'm there, sometimes I'm not there, means my individuality. Sometimes you are there, sometimes you are not there. So this whole movement of coming and going is playing out where? There is some immovable, non-moving substratum. So the person who comes to discover that, he comes to become still. Nachalanam kadapi, he never moves, and he realizes that, I don't go anywhere. In me there is movement, but I myself don't go. And the Upanishad says that in some other way. I'm already everywhere. Where can I go? If you're already everywhere, where you'll go? So in me, this BMI is moving. Now this BMI is in Atlanta. Pretty soon this BMI will be in some other place. But it's all going on in me only. Nachalanam kadapi. I'm not moving ever. But this happens only when the search for the substratum for the duality starts. And I have to search for the substratum of duality. So, it is called as reality is called as vastu. Now, vastu sometimes used for object. Now here, sadvastu. Your reality is called as sadvastu. That substratum or underlying screen on which all things are taking place. How it is to be found? Tan margani. If I start search, I have to actually do a search. This is our problem, you know. We want to reach that state without doing anything ourselves. We have to sit down in long periods of deep inquiry. Search. From where is this I arising? From where is the thought of this world arising? So there's me and there's the world, another duality. So sarvani dvandvani, all the pairs of opposites. From where are they arising? They're arising from some state of stillness. In the form of thoughts they're arising. Like that, I have to go on making my path. I have to go on making my search. And when the stillness is found, yasmin stito na vichalyate, guruna api vichalyate. Bhagavan Sri Krishna says in Gita, that state when it is found, not even the heaviest sorrow or the heaviest problem in this world could move me from that state. But right now I am part of the dvandva. I am either this or this. I'm either man or woman. I'm either student or teacher. I've identified with some part of this dvandva. And then I go on shifting also. Today I'm this and tomorrow I'm that. Today I feel, look here. Today I feel that I am bright, I am intelligent. And tomorrow I meet somebody who is 10 times brighter. Then I shift my ground, isn't it? My ground keeps shifting. Every day like that. But how long I will be like that? Keep shifting. Today I feel confident. The next day I feel nervous. Because I've identified. See, there's confidence and no confidence. So today I identify with this side of the dvandva. Tomorrow, all confidence gone. And that time we're looking for somebody to confide in. Because, what? Confidence gone. I have to confide in you now. So I keep shifting my ground. But that will end only when tan margane. Yeah, when I've done this inquiry. Tan margane is a very nice, powerful word. It means I really have to, in a very substantial way, in a fundamental way, in a serious way, take to this path of inquiry. Means I have to make my path. I have to create my path. I have to engage myself in my path. Nobody can do that for me. Nobody could eat or drink for you. Nobody can take medicines for you. Nobody can worship for you. Nobody can pray for you. Nobody can search for you. You have to search for yourself. That little phrase is very, very important. Now, an example is given. In the next verse, which we chanted already, to show the dependence or the contingency of things in the world, the pairs of opposites. For example, if I say hot, I naturally imply cold, because hot cannot be known without cold. It is not possible. Vidya katam bhati na chet avidya. How you will ever know what is vidya, knowledge, if you did not know what is ignorance? You have to know what is ignorance, then only you can know what is knowledge. And the reverse also in the second line. Vidyam vina kim pravibhati avidya. Without knowledge, can you know what is ignorance? And these two statements actually deserve a lot of thought also. I'll tell you one little thing. See. One implication of these statements, you know. Really, the natural state, our natural state is really vidya. Our natural state has to be vidya by implication here. How? See, when I am ignorant, right? Suppose I am ignorant of French. Do I know that I am ignorant or not? So then my natural state is ignorance or knowledge? Knowledge, nah. If I'm ignorant, I even know that I am ignorant. So then knowing has to be my nature. Knowledge has to be my nature. Because I know that I am ignorant also. So, take the other one now. So I am ignorant, right? Am I ignorant that I am ignorant? No, I know that I am ignorant. I am not ignorant that I am ignorant. Though there is still, Maya is wonderful, eh? There is still some room for that also. Maya gives room for everything. See, is it possible to not know and do not know that I do not know? Like, I do not know French, but I do not know that I do not know French. For some things, it is possible. Like, for example, the person right now, we do not know ourselves. I don't know myself. And I do not know that I do not know myself. That is possible. At this moment, I am taking something else to be myself. So there is a confusion as to what I am. There's a confusion as to what I am. I may not be aware that I am confused. A person may not be aware that he may think, I know very well. In fact, most of us think like that only. I know very well. When in fact we are confused. So a state of confusion could be there. A state of ignorance could be there, which I am not aware of. And I can be made aware that I am confused, or I can be made aware that I am ignorant. Yeah. That is possible. So Maya still has one up its sleeve to present that state to me. What? That I am confused and I do not know that I am confused. I think I am very clear. And I do not know, but I think that I know. Maya can present that case. But still, it is possible to know all of those states. It's still possible to know that I'm ignorant. It's still possible to know that I'm confused. It is still possible to know that I don't know. So that is a more fundamental state to the human being. Knowledge is a more fundamental state. But anyway, the discussion in this verse is not in that direction. Discussion in this verse is, in order to know any of the one of the pairs of opposite, I have to know what is the other. I cannot speak of hot without knowing what is cold. I cannot speak of knowledge without knowing what is ignorance. I cannot speak of ignorance without knowing what is knowledge. That is in the first two lines. Then, the path of inquiry which Sri Ramana Maharishi proposes here is very simple now. He says, Dvayam cha kasyeti vicharya. Vicharya means having thought. To whom does this duality exist? Like, for example, some things I know. Some things I don't know. These are the two things that appear to me. Na? Like, I know English. I don't know French. So I'm knowledgeable. I have knowledge of English. I have no knowledge of French. I am ignorant of French. Oh, so who is it? I who is saying that? Or to whom is this knowledge and to whom is this ignorance? That is the question. Kasya iti? Whose is it? Whose is this ignorance and whose is this knowledge? That is the path he is prescribing. I said, no. Oh, I know English a little bit sometimes. But I don't know French. At no time. So who is the one who is saying I know English and I don't know French? To sit down and ask this question again and again. So now we are using the dvandva as alambana. Support. Dvandva means this knowledge and this ignorance. That is one pair of the dvandva, means duality. I use that as the alambana. Who knows? Who doesn't know? That is very, very wonderful path to try. Then, swarupa. Mula swarupa nishtha paramartha vidya. So he's introducing in that last line a different word now. So there is vidya and there is paramartha vidya. Means knowledge and ignorance. Knowledge of English, ignorance of French, whatever. This knowledge and ignorance, they have their basis and foundation in some higher knowledge. That knowledge is called as paramartha vidya. So there is just vidya, there is avidya. Vidya, avidya, that you know. But there is something called paramartha vidya. Paramartha vidya means supreme knowledge. Knowledge of the reality. Both this vidya and avidya, they have their basis and foundation on paramartha vidya. Knowledge of the reality. Now, when we say knowledge of the reality, we do not mean to say that I know the reality. Knowledge of the reality means knowledge per se. It is not that something that we know objectively. It is knowledge per se. It is that knowledge which is making this vidya be known and this avidya also be known. It is that knowledge which is making knowledge known and ignorance known. Because I know English. And I know I do not know French. So it is that knowledge which is making both know. Like for example, the sun. The sun doesn't really choose any objects to shine on. It is just because of the shining of the sun, objects are seen. But the sun doesn't make that. The sun doesn't say, okay, now I'm going to make this microphone be seen. I'm going to make this one be seen and that one not be seen. The sun doesn't choose any such thing. Just because of the shining of the sun, this knowledge, this object is seen, that object is seen, all the objects are seen. So just because of the presence of that paramartha vidya, supreme knowledge, because of the presence, just like the rays of the sun now, knowledge is known and ignorance also is known. It is the illuminator of knowledge and ignorance. It is not that that itself is known in any objective way. You have to always keep this clear in your mind. So anyway, when the person now asks this question, he is actually performing the task which was given in the previous verse. When he asks this question, to whom is this knowledge and ignorance? That is called Tanmargane of the previous verse. He is actually carving his path. He is making his path when he is asking this question. To whom is this knowledge and ignorance? When he asks that, he will come to discover that Mula Swarupa, his own true nature. And by asking over and over, he will gain a state of abidance, nishtha, in his own self. See, the path of Sri Ramana Maharishi is a path of asking. Actually, the easiest way he sums up all of this is, who am I? And this who am I, koham, koham, who is asking this question, who am I? And from where is the question arising? All of this is just to bring one to that state. Who is the one who has knowledge and who is the one who has ignorance? It is I. Oh, and who am I? Like that. When we do this, we are engaging ourselves in our path. Each person has to make his path like that. And his is the path of inquiry. Now, knowing the one who knows. What is the meaning of knowing the one who knows? See, who knows this knowledge and who knows this ignorance? To know that one, what exactly is the meaning? That we delve a little bit more now into. See here. Bodharamatmanam ajanato yo. Bodhasya kim syat paramartha bodhah. Bodhasya bodhyasya cha samshrayam swam. Vijanatastadvitayam vinashyet. Bodharam atmanam ajanataha yo bodhaha. He who knows anything in this world. If I know anything in this world, I know this, I know this, I know this, I know French, I know Spanish, I know Greek, I know everything. So many things. Space science and atomic science and everything. I know. I may know whatever I want to know. But if I don't know the knower, I have known nothing. That is the idea. See how many different things we can know in this world. Baba, pray if you think, human being, he goes on probing. This human being likes to probe. Now he's probing on Mars. So he knows this, he knows that, he knows so many countless things. There are some peculiar things about knowledge also. I'll tell you just now. But he goes on probing, and he knows countless million things. But he doesn't know the knower. Bodharam. Avijanataha. Then all the things which he knows, they amount to naught. They amount to zero. I'll show you how. See. One more thing about knowledge. Peculiar thing about knowledge. Wonderful thing. Here. When the person is in junior school or high school or something, he learns some 8-10 subjects, isn't it? Mathematics and physics and chemistry and biology and English and so many things. He has algebra and functions, relations, this, that. He has to learn so many subjects. And when he goes to university, undergraduate, he chooses one branch only. Of all of these things. He doesn't study all these subjects, you know. He chooses one branch. Then when he goes up to a master's, then from that one branch also one little thing. And then PhD. So he goes on knowing more and more about less and less. Isn't it? In PhD, one little aspect of something he studies there for years and years and years. And you know what wonderful discovery comes to him? Wonderful discovery comes. At that point, when he knows so much about this little thing, then he realizes there's so much which he doesn't know. He knows so much about this little one topic, and the fellow working right next to him in the next office or desk or something right there, he's doing a totally different topic, and this man doesn't know anything about this topic. So, first of all, when the person gets this knowledge, you know, he knows more and more and more, that reveals to him that he knows less and less and less. There's so many areas which he doesn't know. Okay. So now if you ask from that point of view, are there more things in the world which we know or more things which we do not know? Naturally, it is more things which we do not know, countless things which we do not know. Huh? We only know this little bit. Now, okay. You take this little bit now and bring it under the microscope now. Things which we know. Right? Now, in that field, there will be people who know well and there are people who do not know so well. So let us say in this particular field, we take the top scientists. They know all the details about this field. Right? This little field. They're the cutting edge scientists. So they know about all this, you know. Now when you look at their knowledge also, whatever theories and postulations and all things that they have today, in 10 years, somebody else comes along and tell all these things is wrong. Isn't it? That the science is going like that today or not? Within 10 years? When we were in school, they used to tell light travels in a straight line. Nowadays, they're telling no. It bends. So whoever was postulating, whoever knew all about light at that time, we said, this fellow really knows, you know. He didn't know about the other things, but he knew about light. And he says, light travels in a straight line. So after some 10, 15 years, somebody else comes and tells, no. He doesn't know. And he shows otherwise. But even the fellow who is showing otherwise, in another 10 years, somebody will come and show he's also otherwise. So now what do we know? That is the nature of knowledge. You know why? Because it is relative knowledge. That is the problem. If it is relative itself tells, it cannot be true, isn't it? Absolute. So it is only relatively true. So if it is relatively true, then somebody will come and prove it wrong in a little time. That is why Bhagavan says, you may know this, you may know that, you may know so many things. All that amounts to zero if you don't know the knower. Bodharam avijanataha. Without knowing that knower, which is here called as the Bodharam Atmanam. Bodharam Atmanam is the self, which is the knower. If you don't know, then Sakim Paramatha Bodha Syat. So can he be said, can that person who doesn't know the knower, can he be said to know anything? Can he be said to have supreme knowledge? The question is asked, but then he doesn't answer also. Bhagavan Ramana Rishi is wonderful, you know. He asks a question, he doesn't answer also. That means to say the answer is in the question itself. In Sanskrit, there's a wonderful little, there are two phrases. One phrase is kakuhu. Kakuhu means no, he doesn't. Kakuhu means no, certainly not. Or nanu also. So the answer to his question is kaku. No, he doesn't know. It means the person who knows all knowledge of this world and doesn't know the self. Does he know? That is the question. The answer is no, he doesn't. In English, all these no, and all. One no is N-O and the other no is K-N-O-W, no. The second no starts with K. One teacher is asking the boy in the class, spell knife. That boy said, I don't know. So, the one who knows everything in this world, but doesn't know the self, does he know? The answer is no. So you have to be careful which no we are talking about that. That is why in Sanskrit is different. Kakuhu. Kaku means no, he doesn't know. Like that. So that person who doesn't know himself really doesn't know anything. That is the idea. Bodhasya bodhyasya cha samshrayam swam vijanataha. See, both of them have their support. Means all the objects of the world which are known. And the knower who is knowing all the objects, the individual who is knowing all of the objects, both these things, the objects and the knower of the objects, they have their support in Paramartha Bodha. Bodhaka, the one who is deeper even. Bodharam, which is called Bodharam here. The one who is deeper, who is a pure self. The individual I knows this watch. So there are two things now. What? Individual I and this watch. Two things are there. But both those two things exist and are known in the light of the supreme knowledge. The light of the supreme knowledge causes them to be known. Both the individual. Because look here. If I have it here, right? Down below. I say, only I know what is down there. You don't know. So there's an I, an individual I, who is separate from you. So there's an individual I who knows. And then the thing which is known. That individual I and the thing which is known, that it, both of them have their support, or they are known in the light of the Paramartha Vidya, the supreme knowledge. That is what he's telling. So, I have to go and ask, you know, who is this individual I who knows the watch? And in searching, again, creating my path, I come to merge in myself. I come to merge in reality. That is called a nishtha. Again and again. In the searching here, this verse ends by saying, both the objects fall away, and the individual I who knows the object, both fall away. Dvitiyam, what is that? Dvitiyam vinashet. Both of them get destroyed. Both fall away. And what is left? Only swam, the self on which both of them are supported. That is the goal. Now, some people say, oh, we're talking about, you know, when I merge and I go inside, the duality of the individual I and the thing which is known, both of them drop away. So there is absence of duality. But that was the topic coming. The absence drops away. So some people ask, but in deep sleep, you know, there again is no duality. So maybe deep sleep is the state. Then I should not wake up. Because in deep sleep also all the dualities go. So is that the state? He said, no, that is not the state. That is told now in number 14. Nidra na vidya grahanam na vidya.
Nidra na vidya grahanam na vidya.
Grahnati kinchin na yathata bodhe.
Grahnati kinchin na yathata bodhe.
Nidra padartha grahane tare. Nidra padartha grahane tarasyat.
Nidra padartha grahane tarasyat.
Chideva vidya vilasantya shunya.
Chideva vidya vilasantya shunya.
Nidrana vidya. Sleep is not the state of knowledge. Sleep is not the state of knowledge. Nidrana vidya. It means only because dualities are absent in sleep, you cannot conclude that sleep is the state of knowledge. Why? That is a contradiction in terms. Sleep is the state of ignorance. In sleep, look here, that person is so ignorant, he cannot even say that he is ignorant. Isn't it? That ignorance is so profound that he cannot even say that he is ignorant. So sleep is not the state of vidya. Sleep is the state of pure, unsullied ignorance. Yes. So wonderful that. And that's why they say in English, ignorance is bliss. Shakespeare quote. Shakespeare may have read this only. Vedanta. Yeah, there are so many things in Shakespeare which comes from Vedanta only. So, pure bliss, but totally ignorant of that. Only when he wakes up, oh, I slept blissfully. And during the time, he cannot say, I am sleeping so blissfully, the person is saying that. Some people are like that, no? They come, they shake you. Are you waking? But I was until you shook me. I mean, I was asleep until you shook me. Oh, are you asleep? I was until you shook me. So, the person who is asleep, he doesn't know if there's anybody there, anybody asking anything. Let me tell you something. Sometimes his eyes open also. Some people sleep with their eyes open, no? Wide open. And this world is filled with so many different types of people also. You can find one of anything. Anything you describe, you can find one or two. Some can sleep with their eyes open. So anyway, that state, true, there are no dualities. But just because there are no dualities, you cannot conclude that is the state of being, pure being. It is a state of pure ignorance, actually. And the state we are talking about is a state of pure knowledge. So sleep is not. Now, grahanam na vidya. Grahanam means perception. So in sleep, no perception. No duality. So we say, no, that is not the state we are talking about. Grahanam, now I'm perceiving all things. Well, in this state, which I'm perceiving all things, I'm perceiving this. That also is not the state of vidya, because while I am perceiving which is in front of me, I am ignorant of which is behind me. Isn't it? So if there is knowledge and ignorance, that's again state of duality. So grahanam na vidya, that is not the supreme state we are talking about then. Both cannot be sleep and wake. Both cannot be the supreme state. Then what is the supreme state? He says, yathartha bodhe na kinchit grihnati. That supreme state of pure being, is when nothing is grasped. But there is just pure knowledge. It is not grasping anything in particular, but it is just the pure knowledge that is ready and willing and waiting to make anything be known. It is not that I know anything in particular, but it is the pure knowledge that makes things be known. So it is yathartha bodhe na kinchit grihnati, where it is the state in which nothing is grasped in particular, but the grasping power itself per se is there. Vidya nidra padartha grahana itara syat. That knowledge is different, is other than the sleep and other than the grasping of objects. The state of knowledge which we are talking about is other than the state of sleep, and it is other than the state of grasping particular objects. Knowledge is that thing which allows both to be present, both to be possible. That is the idea. Very, very subtle topic Sri Ramana Maharshi is engaging in here. And again, it is not a void. It is ashunya. The state of knowledge we are talking about, it is not a nothing. Some people say, oh, it is not a state of grasping objects, which is the waking state. It is not a state of ignorance of objects, which is the sleeping state. It is a state of pure awareness itself, but not awareness of anything in particular. Some people may be prone to say, you know, like in some Buddhist schools of thought and all, they say, but then that is state of shunya, there is nothing. It is like this, you know. In the light of the sun, this thing is known. Right? In the light of the sun, this thing is known. In the light of the sun, all objects are known. Right? But suppose you remove all objects. So there is no object to be known in the light of the sun. So does this light of the sun disappear? If you remove all the objects, the light of the sun doesn't disappear. Light of the sun is still there. It's just that there are no objects to be known, to be shone on. You see? But that doesn't do anything to the light. Objects are there, objects are not there. The light is still there. So this is what is being spoken about here. A state where yathatha bodha na kinchit grihnati. There is just the pure knowledge like the light of the sun, but really no objects. So the person who realizes God, what? He reaches a state where he perceives nothing. He reaches a state where everything which is perceived is dissolved in that higher knowledge of existence. He doesn't see it as, you know, we see things objectively. I keep telling that. We see this thing objectively as distinct and separate, unconnected to me. And therefore, there is me, the one who is grasping, and there is the thing which is grasped. So for a realized soul, there is nothing to grasp. He is the thing. Do I grasp my foot? I am my foot. I am, we hold ourselves to be this entire BMI. I don't have to grasp it. Once I had gone with some friend, you know, in the city of Banaras. So he told, man, you know, I hear people talking about this bhang. Bhang, you know? He said he heard people talking about this bhang. Before, this is my first trip to Banaras. This might be my last trip also. Can I have that bhang? I said, yes. I took him there, where they sell that bhang. And I told that man he wants bhang. You give. That man gave him this fellow. He drank that thing. Then he started laughing and laughing. Then we went to see some movie. So in the middle of that movie now, and throughout the movie, he was laughing. Even though that, on screen, that dialogue was crying, he was laughing also. So anyway, in the middle of that movie, he told me a very strange thing. He poked me. I want to move my leg, but I don't know where it is. This bang does all of these things, you know. But he has a desire to move leg, but he is not feeling that leg. No, where is my leg? There is no consciousness of his leg. So, unless we are under the influence of bhang, we know where is our leg, you know. Oh, there's a nice thing about bhang, you know. Have you heard this? Lord Shiva, it is said he drinks bhang, na? So he had a nice gulp of bhang, and then he sat like this in meditation, and then from that state the whole world and universe and Brahmanda emerge, and that is called the big bhang theory. That is just in the area of that is just in the area of fun, huh? So we are very much aware and conscious of every part of, and I don't have to make an effort to grasp any part of. I feel oneness with my whole body, BMI, right? In the very same way, it is when it says here that this the realized soul doesn't grasp anything. He doesn't have to, because everything has already melted and become one with him. So he is one with everything. So there is no effort to grasp something outside of himself. Right now, that is where we are. There is me and this thing which is outside of me. So I'm trying to grasp that thing. But in his case, everything is him. And there is no need to grasp anything. Therefore, there is no need for him to pursue anything. We are pursuing because I see it as separate from me. I have to get it. Huh? But in his case, that's why he says, Santushta, Satatam Yogi. All the time. Contented. That thing is me. That is like, you know, I am so desirous of my foot. I want to get it. That is silly or not? Silly. So when he says he doesn't grasp anything, don't think that he becomes blind. The meaning is that already everything is him. Everything is, he's identified with everything. He's found his oneness with everything. So there's nothing separate to be grasped. That is the idea. Not that he becomes blind and he cannot see thereafter. Or, you know, otherwise people will get scared, you know. Chideva vidya vilasanti. Chit is what shines as everything in the universe for that person. Yeah. Now, what is the relationship between? This is very interesting. What is the relationship between chit and objects of this world? Consciousness and objects of this world. Because there seem to be two things. One, consciousness is chetan. This world is jada. And you know, we go on talking in that language all the time. There's this duality of jada chetan, jada chetan, jada. We use this, we like these words. Many times in our analysis and in our inquiry and all, we use that duality of jada and chetan or seer and seen. But at some point in that journey, in that inquiry, we have to actually bring the two together to see how they are related. Because remember, the basic and fundamental premise of Vedanta is that there is only one thing. But you are going on telling Jad Chetan. Jad Chetan. Why are you going on telling? First you tell there is one thing. Now you are going on telling two things. Jad Chetan, Jad Chetan. Oh. So then at some point, we'll have to see how the two are related and how we get back to oneness. The Jad-Chetan dichotomy is only made for analytic purposes. It's not that there are two things. There's only one thing. Now this verse brings us back to that amalgamation of the two. Satyashchidatma vivida kritishchit. Siddhyet prithak satya chito na bhinna bhinna. Bhusha vikara kimusanti satyam. Vina suvarnam prithagatra loke. Satyaha chidatma hi asti. Chit, the supreme consciousness, is itself the truth. That is the one and only thing that there is. Chit, consciousness, awareness, is the one and only thing that there is. That is the only truth. There is nothing else. If you see something else, then something is wrong with your seeing. You have to correct. See, if I put on these glasses, and then instead of one microphone, I see two. Nothing is wrong with the microphone. Something is wrong with the... Yes, I have to now check the glasses. Otherwise, we'll go on trying to... Why two microphones? I need one only. How two came? We go on trying to adjust outside. That will never And one fellow went to the doctor. He said, "Doctor, I have a big problem. I'm seeing two doctors." The doctor asked, "Do all four of you have the same problem?" Now that is a bad situation, isn't it? So, if I'm seeing many things in the world, then something is wrong with my vision, because there is only one thing in the universe, and that is Chit, pure conscious, Chidatma. Here it is called as Chidatma. That is self, is the truth, Satyaha. And there is nothing else. Now, how do we account for all the other things which we see in the world? That we'll see now. Vividaha akritihi satya chitaha na bhinnaha. If we see, vividaha akritihi means all different forms. If I see all different forms and all different things in the world, I see this, I see that, I see so many colors and shapes and hues and things and objects, I see so many countless things. If I see them, I have to come to understand now, they are nothing but the same chit. Na bhinna means not different from chit. Chitaha na bhinna. They're not in any way different from chit consciousness. They are consciousness? Yes. Everything in the universe is pure consciousness and nothing else. How? Now let us do a little inquiry into this thing. How that is so? It is like this. Now, when I see you, or when I see this thing, or I see any object, right? This thing is represented to my mind only as a thought. Correct or not? This thing is before my mind only as a thought. See, like for example, I see you are sitting at some distance, right? So there's a whole bunch of thoughts which have come to my mind. First, you're a man. Second, you're tall. Third, you're 25 feet away from me. So all those are thoughts only. Man, tall, 25 feet away, looking in this direction. There's a whole bunch of thoughts. All those thoughts are in my mind. So now, what exactly is a thought then? A thought is nothing but a modification of consciousness. Like a wave is nothing but a modification of water. Right? Thought is nothing but a modification of consciousness, awareness. So there is awareness per se, and there is awareness of the man standing there. The awareness of the man standing there is nothing but a modification of awareness per se. So there is water per se, and there is wave as water, or water as wave. There are two things, water per se, and that same water modified into a wave. So there's awareness or consciousness per se, and that same awareness or consciousness modified as a man. Modified as a bunch of thoughts, which results in a man standing there. You see? So, now are there two things? No. There's only one thing. The same consciousness modified as the bunch of thoughts which make up this man and all the things associated with the man. There is only one thing. You know how you have to think about it? It is like, the very common example which Gurudev used to use also is the pot maker who takes clay and makes pots. And he makes so many different objects in that potter's shop. He has, you know, so many objects made out of clay. Now all of the objects which you see there, they are nothing but the modification of clay. There's nothing, no second thing. There's no second thing in that shop. You may think that there are second things, but really speaking, there's no second thing. You know why? Let us say he has made a pot. That pot is 5 feet tall, 2 feet wide, like that. Right? So there is height, there is size, there is volume, there is name, pot, there is shape, pot, all of these things you are seeing. Really, we say that all of these things are not there. There is only one thing there. And if I remove that one thing, means I go and I take a little bit of clay and I bring it here, from the pot. You know, one molecule, put here. Another molecule. And I go on moving, removing molecule by molecule and I put them here. Now what will be left? Just now you were seeing height, size, shape, volume, name, all such things you were seeing there, right? But I only remove clay, molecule by molecule. I did not remove any of the other things. So we say, when we look at the pot, really speaking, there is only one thing. All the other things are really not real. Huh? They're just there, appearing. They're appearing. In the very same way, consciousness is the clay from which this universe is made up. That is the idea. Consciousness is the clay from which everything is made. So there is only one thing. And you may see different shapes and forms and all that, but all of them are fashioned out of consciousness, fashioned out of awareness. So the awareness of the thing and awareness per se, they are one and same. There is no separate thing from apart from awareness in this world, apart from consciousness. There is only one consciousness which has modified itself as this whole universe. And it represents itself to the mind as thoughts. It's all this universe represents itself to our mind only as thoughts. Thoughts are nothing but modified consciousness. Consciousness taken on akriti. Akriti means form. That is the word which is used there. Consciousness taken on form. And consciousness is infinite. Its power is infinite. So you could take on whatever form. Form which you cannot even dream of. You are seeing human beings with one head here only on earth. Consciousness can take on form with human beings with any number of heads. That's why Ravan can have 10 heads. These Puranas and all this Sambhav Shastra, you know, scriptures, they show possibilities. Why? Consciousness has taken on here on in our earth. It has taken on forms of human beings with only one head. Why? Consciousness is infinite in power. Sarva Shaktiman. Why? It cannot take on with 10 heads or what? Nothing can take on with 10,000 heads. Sahasra Shirsha. If it so desires also. 1,000 heads. That is within its power. It's prerogative. We cannot just say that, you know, consciousness cannot do this or do that or whatever. Can take on whatever form. But anyway, all the akriti, vivida akriti, countless number of forms which we see, all of them, chitaha navinna, they are not different from chit, consciousness. They are made up of consciousness also. And the example which is given here, I just gave the example of pot, here the example of gold and ornaments are given. That is all. All the gold ornaments which we see, they are all only made from gold. So you may see gold in the shape of a bracelet is the correct word? Bracelet. You may see gold in the shape of earrings, finger ring, any type of thing. You could see gold in the shape of a murti. But look here. If you remove gold from all of those things, just remove gold only, leave the shape. Just remove gold. Now what will be left? Nothing. So from this universe, we just remove consciousness. No universe is left. Universe is only consciousness. Because the universe represents itself to me as thoughts, and thoughts are only consciousness. That is all. Such a simple logic it is. Oh. Now, this Tripoti, you, he, and what do you call? Three persons. I, you, and he. This Tripoti is taken, because just now he mentioned the Tripoti in that verse. Now, inquiry is done from the point of view of the Tripoti. The three persons. First person, second person, and third person, which we have in language. All languages have these three persons. We'll see that. At 10 o'clock. 10, right? Now, yoga. After yoga, bhoga. Okay. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Hari Om.
Since yoga is beginning after 15 more late minutes, bhoga will also start 15 minutes later. So we will come back for breakfast at 9 o'clock and we will be back in this hall for 10 o'clock. Thanks.